And yeah, let's get started for this morning. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our weekly gathering. I'm Lynn Johnson, Lynn Johnson, and I'm your minister today. And the topic today is going to be spiritual snobbery. Yes. And R2B Peep says, what religion is this? This is your religion, and you are welcome to stay here and be with us. very, very welcome. Good morning, Phil. So let's see. You're here for the Awakening Together weekly gathering. And to start the gathering today, we would do as we would do if we were in a physical church. Turn and say hello to our brothers while we listen to a little bit of music. And so I'm going to start some music, and please feel free to greet your neighbor.
Tells me who I am, that I might realize the truth about myself and you. When I look back at where I've been, the dream, it seems real. And desolation was all around. That was the only thing that I could feel. But I thought you were another on a path apart from mine. Then I raised my head and looked into your eyes. And the love that saw you are and all you've ever been just reaches out to me and takes me home again. So many roads we've all walked down, seeming to go came together in the end to that raw highway that takes us out of here. I wandered alone and friendless, my heart filled with despair, until I opened up my eyes and finally I saw you there. But I thought you were another on a path apart from mine. Then I raised my head and looked into your eyes. And the love that saw you are and all you've ever been just reaches out to me. Takes me home again.
They're having a little trouble with getting the mic. So wonderful to see you all here, and it's just such a joy to me to sit here and watch the room fill up, watch the numbers on the radio go up, and to know that people are coming in to join with us as one in our online sanctuary, one of the most amazing things I never even imagined through my life, that there would be an opportunity like this to just reach out and join with my brothers in such a wonderful, wonderful way. We are here. This is Awakening Together. And Awakening Together is, it's a gathering. It is a assembly of equals. Awakening Together is really here to join together in this vast awakening of the Son of God to His truth. From our website, Purpose and Values, we say Awakening Together is a universal assembly of peers. Peers, all of us are the same, equal peers, dedicated to recognizing and embracing universal wisdom, regardless of the form in which it appears. We are also dedicated to recognize the ways we deny universal wisdom by adopting personal beliefs and biases. We want to recognize these limitations so we can free ourselves from them and open to the continuous flow of universal wisdom. And really, that's the purpose. That is my purpose here now, is to really look at my mind, look at my thoughts, and look at how the thoughts that I have limit my ability to know myself, my ability to know God, my ability to know my brother. And so this is very important to me. And if you're a member of Awakening Together, I know that you agree with this as well. If you're not a member of Awakening Together, you could go to our website, which Barb has posted the link to the Purpose and Values. You can go right there and click over to join and join us, become a member of Awakening Together. It doesn't cost anything. It's a great organization. There's a lot of good things that we're doing and more even more coming up. So please consider joining this if you haven't already. So let's see, I'm kind of looking at the list of all the things I need to say. Okay, so I wanted to talk a little bit about some upcoming things, some announcements, and let me go to where I have them. First off, remember that we're having a big conference in New York City in April of 2015, and that will be at I think April 17th through the 19th. Right now the cost for the tickets is $499, and that goes for all 3 days. It does not include the room. You still have to rent a room at the hotel. However, it does go for all 3 days and includes meals. So that's a really good deal. So it's through the CMC, the Community Miracle Center, and you can go to the CMC website. And oh, except breakfast on Saturday, Regina says. So you'll have to fend for yourself. And the prices do go up in November. So if you want to think about going to that conference, go to the CMC website, Community Miracle Center, and sign up. Also, if there's a place where they ask who referred you, you could say Awakening Together, because that also, I think, counts for us as far as having, I don't know, what. with the conference, but credibility, I guess. Yeah, it does allow funds to come our way. Okay, good, good, good. I knew there was some good reason for doing that. Okay, the next thing I wanted to talk about is that we have a member meeting next Sunday, November 2nd, and Regina is going to give us an update regarding the vision for a retreat center. And so talking about doing having a retreat center here in Colorado, I think is going to be just such an amazing thing. So please also be here next Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern time. So, and then also, if you're interested, if you're a member of Awakening Together and you're interested in the ministerial preparation program, there's a wait list now. So if you are interested in it, put yourself on the wait list. Let Regina know or go into the website. I believe the wait list is on the website. And you can just click into that and put your name on there so that the next time the MPP program starts up, we'll be able to contact you and get you set up to become a minister in Awakening Together. And so that's a wonderful thing as well. Another thing that you can do that can be of great service to Awakening Together is to become an admin administrator in the Awakening Together sanctuary. We run this sanctuary almost all day, all night, and it can only be open if there's an administrator in the room. So I'd love if anyone was interested in even taking a 2-hour time or a 4-hour time sometime during the week, or just become an admin so that if you're in the room, you can help out if, you know, someone has to leave or we have an opening. So, and to do that, Barb has posted on the board to go to the gathering, Awakening Together website, and let me know. Check on that. I'd love to have more admins so that we can run the room more efficiently. And right now we have Carrie Christensen is going to start being our admin on Wednesday mornings, taking over for Regina. So that's going to be very, very helpful to me as well. So just some little announcements there. okay. I'm looking at the schedule here to make sure I get everything in. So I hate to go past and not have everything we need to talk about. Okay. Well, it looks to me then like, some people are not having sound. So that's unfortunate. So I think right now I'm going to play another short song, and then we will go to our inspirational reading, which today our friend Nikki Dobson is here as my reader. Yay! And pardon my enthusiasm here. I'm so happy. You guys know that. All right, so I'm going to play a song, and then Nikki, I'm going to turn the mic over to you to do our inspirational reading.
And you have
come, but you were always here. I cannot find my fear in my Savior's eyes, in my Savior's eyes.
Beautiful, thank you. What I'm about to read is by Ram Dass. It's called Spiritual Pride. And I'll start out with a poem by Kabir. Mad with joy. Life and death dance to the rhythm of this music. The hills and the sea and the earth dance. The world of man dances in laughter and tears. Why put on the robe of the monk and life aloof from the world and lonely pride? And once again, that's by Kabir. A persistent trap all along the path is pride in one's spiritual purity. It's a form of one-upmanship in which you judge others out of a feeling of superiority. This ultimately limits your spiritual awakening. You can see many people who are caught in this trap of virtue. For example, in the self-righteousness of some churchgoers, in the yoga scene in America, there are many groups of people who dress in a certain way, eat in a certain way, are special in some way that gives them an ego-enhancing feeling of purity. The harmful effect of this trap is not so much to one's social relationships, though they may become strained from this display of subtle arrogance, but rather the effect on oneself, this feeling of specialness, or superiority inflates the ego and feeds it with pride. The best antidote to pride is humility, which leads to compassion. The sooner one develops compassion in this journey, the better. Compassion lets us appreciate that each individual is doing what he or she must do, and that there is no reason to judge another person or oneself. Merely do what you can to further your own awakening. And this is by Ram Dass. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you, Nikki. Yeah, Regina has posted, the sooner one develops compassion on this journey, the better. There is no reason to judge another person or oneself. Do what you can to further your own awakening. That's really so beautiful. And what a incredibly wonderful reading. And thank you again, Nikki. Nikki was the one who posted that on Facebook. And I went and read it, and it was just on a day when I was really looking at the trap of somehow believing that, you know, I got something, or that someone else has something, that there is something that can be coming from somewhere else that is informing me of what is true, and realizing that we are all the same thing and not different in any way at all. And, you know, when I used to read The Course in Miracles, I always wondered, because people told me when I first started with the Course that it's a self-study book and you do it by yourself. And, you know, I thought, well, why then, if it's a self-study book and you do it by yourself, how come it always says to join with your brother, to look at your brother, to forgive your brother, to think about your brother? Why is all this emphasis on the brother if it's only me? you know, it took a while for the truth to sink in to me that really what Jesus is talking about is that what I see when I look at my brother is really a projection of my own belief. And so whenever I'm looking at a brother, I'm not seeing the Christ. I'm seeing a human with flaws. I'm seeing something I can judge. I'm seeing something I can imagine is different and separate from me. And the fact is, there's nothing that is different and separate from me. Because I am the love of God. And so if I am the love of God and nothing is separate from me, that means you are the love of God as well. There's no difference between us. And if there's nothing separate from me, there's no difference between us, then the only problem is that I'm not seeing it. And why I'm not seeing it is because I'm choosing to look on something that is not true and believing it's true. So this brought me to looking at one of the ways in which I separate myself from my brother. And that is in believing that somehow they are not as invested in awakening as I am. That somehow in their path to awakening, they are taking a wrong turn. That somehow, I'm sorry, I have to laugh. But somehow, there's something I have, or I know, yes, that if only they knew, they'd be as far along as I am. And even the ones who seem to be really far along, I'm more farther along than they are, because I know this, I saw this, I heard this. The fact is, none of us are different in any way at all. And I remembered this section of, I've been doing the course for 20 years or 40 years, and this exactly this section in the course about charity, and we've been talking about this quite a bit lately. And what does this really mean? And I'm going to read this for folks on the radio. Charity is a way of looking at another as if he had already gone far beyond his actual accomplishments in time. Since his own thinking is faulty, he cannot see the atonement for himself, or he would have no need of charity. So charity right here, Jesus is saying, is looking at my brother and seeing that he is awake. Looking at my brother and seeing that he is completely enlightened and awake and the Holy Son of God, incarnate, complete. And the only reason that he's not seeing that is because his own thinking is faulty. But guess what? I'm seeing it because my own thinking is faulty. And so if I'm seeing that he's not whole, complete, and the Holy Son of God, it's because my thinking is faulty. So the charity that is accorded him is both an acknowledgement that he needs help and a recognition that he will accept it. Why? Because he wants salvation. He wants salvation, and therefore he will accept it. Both of these perceptions clearly imply their dependence on time, making it apparent that charity still lies within the limitations of this world. I said before that only revelation transcends time. Here's another thing that I always think when I read this is he's talking about how I see my brother as being whole and complete and not different than me, standing at the end of time, far beyond everything, completely accepted the atonement. And then Jesus says in that same thing, that same paragraph, about revelation. What does having charity of seeing my brother as being enlightened, awakened, whole, and holy have to do with revelation? Because revelation is what happens when I see the end of time and all of our wholeness. Time does not exist. It's transcended. And through doing this, I have shortened time. The miracle as an expression of charity can only shorten it. It must be understood, however, that whenever you offer a miracle to another, you are shortening the suffering of both of you. Why is that? Because we are one connected being. This corrects retroactively as well as progressively. So it corrects the past, the future, the now. Everything is corrected by what? My decision to see my brother as the same. And seeing my brother as being the enlightened one in all times. So if I am looking at my brother, every single one of them, no matter what their circumstance, no matter what their body, no matter what their thought system, no matter if they are, you know, terrorists or priests, it doesn't matter. If I look at them and see that we are all the same thing, then I will remember God. Time will be transcended. The miracle will have happened. And this is an amazing thing. It's not a concept, it's a truth. It's something that I have seen happen over and over and over and over in my life. That as I have chosen to forgive, I have been forgiven. I have seen incredible and amazing things occurring in my life that I know would never have occurred had I not accepted this truth. And so I have one more thing to say that I think is really going to be helpful as well. And this, again, is from the Manual for Teachers, or from the Clarifications of Terms, where Jesus says to us, the name of Jesus is the name of one who was a man, but saw the face of Christ in all his brothers and remembered God. What did he do? What did he see? He saw them as far beyond where they appeared in time. He saw them as whole, holy, and enlightened. And when he saw the face of Christ in all his brothers, and he remembered God. So he became identified with Christ, a man no longer, but at one with God. The man was an illusion, for he seemed to be a separate being, walking by himself within a body that appeared to hold his self from self. That's what we're doing. We appear to be separate beings, walking by ourselves within a body that appears to hold ourselves from ourself, as all illusions do. But as the awakened Christ mind, this is how Jesus acted in the world. Yet who can save unless he sees illusions and then identifies them as what they are? Jesus remains a savior because he saw the false without accepting it as true. And Christ needed his form that he might appear to men and save them from their own illusions. This is, I don't know about you, I don't know, you know, what your thoughts are, your desires, whatever you want to do in the world, in your life. But I want to be this. I want this. This is my function in this world. To be the living embodiment of God's love. And so right here today, in this very short time, I have shared with you the absolute secret to becoming the Christ. You cannot look at your brother and see anything other than their perfect wholeness. And when you see things that appear to be obstacles to seeing that perfect wholeness, recognize that it is your own thought that has made that so. It's your belief in what that person represents that has made that so. And you can change your mind about what you see. It's simple. It may not be easy. Jesus says it's simple, but it's not easy. Because it has to be something that you fully will to do. It has to be something that you want. Yes, yes, Regina, even our own ideas of what perfect wholeness is can be the obstacle. It really, you just have to have really just an open mind to look at them and see whatever it is that you imagine or want to see the Christ. And, you know, I'm not saying fake it till you make it. I say look for it. And if you don't see it, ask the question, why? What is it that I see that is hiding the truth from me? How is it that I am seeing something that is not the Christ when I am told and I believe with all my firm belief, of course, until I'm proven wrong, that it's there? I believe the Christ is there. So if I believe the Christ is there, then I want to see it. And so this is all I'm saying. This is, to me, it's a perfect formula. Just like when Jesus told me from reading the Manual for Teachers a few years ago that the thing that was keeping me from my goal of the development of trust was what? My decision to continue to judge and to not allow the Holy Spirit to choose for God for me. And when I changed my mind about allowing the Holy Spirit to choose, which was a big deal for me, might be a big deal for you too, then I was able to hear, yes, yes, Jesus does speak to me. He speaks to you too. Yeah. He speaks to all of us. He's in our hearts. He's in our minds. He is what we are. And so let me keep track of the time here. Looks like to me it might be time to play another song. And maybe Barb will put up the link for donations. We do Awakening Together as a 401c3. R2 might know what that is. And we do... Have 501. Thank you, Barb. 501c3 and donations to Awakening Together are, I was thinking of retiring, are tax deductible. So I'm going to put on a little music to contemplate our message, and Barb will post the link.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. And no religion. join us in the world. We'll live as one. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger or brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. You may say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope so. You'll join us, and the world will live as one. You may say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us, and the world will live as one.
All right, yeah, that was the lovely Eva Cassidy, Imagine. What a beautiful song. And, you know, all songs are spiritual songs. It doesn't matter. The words always are indicators to me of you know, what it's the voice of God talking to me. I love it. So I'm going to post, this is the link to that thing that Nikki read from Ram Dass, which I just still thought was so beautiful. And I wanted to take a few minutes and read something that I got over the internet yesterday, and it's called Ego Traps. And so this is a lot to do with this spiritual snobbery that we've been talking about. And so here's the ego trap. If you think it is more spiritual to ride a bike to work or use public transportation, but then find yourself judging anyone who drives a car, you're in an ego trap. This is like, here's your sign or something, huh? If you think it's more spiritual to stop watching television because it rots your brain, but then find yourself judging those who still watch TV, you're in the ego trap. And I also must say, watching shows that are not spiritual or you know, thinking that the first one is, if you think it is more spiritual to ride a bike to work or use public transportation, which I do, but then find yourself judging anyone who drives a car, you're in an ego trap. But, yeah, and I don't really judge people who drive cars, but I do think it's a good thing to ride public transportation. Okay, here's one. If you think it is more spiritual to avoid reading gossip, tabloid, or news magazines, but then find yourself judging those who do read those things, you're in an ego trap. If you think it's more spiritual to listen to classical music or soothing nature sounds, but then find yourself judging those who listen to mainstream or pop music, you're in an ego trap. If you think it is more spiritual to do yoga, become a vegan, buy organic, buy healing crystals, practice Reiki, meditate, wear hippie/thrift shop clothing, visit ashrams and read enlightened spiritual books, but then you judge anyone who doesn't do those things, you're in an ego trap. Always be aware of the feeling of superiority. Self-righteous superiority is your biggest clue that you are in an ego trap. The ego loves to sneak in the back door. It will take a noble idea like starting up yoga and then twist it to serve its own ends by making you feel superior to others. You will start to look down on those who are not following your righteous spiritual path. Superiority, judgment, and condemnation. That is the ego trap. And is... And Tim says, cut to the chase. If you're judging, you're in an ego trap. Exactly. Exactly. And this is, I mean, really honestly, to think in any way at all that anybody's path is wrong or that they're doing the wrong thing or that you somehow know better than them how to be or what to be or know better than God or the Holy Spirit how people should be. Really, isn't that why we don't see our brothers as being perfect? Isn't that why we don't see our brothers as being love? Is because we choose to judge them and see them as being imperfect. I mean, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Simple, but true. So, actually now we have quite a bit of time, because I must talk really fast or something, or I missed something in the program. I'm looking here to see if there's something I didn't do. You'd think I sit here every week and listen to this, but nope. Only the opening prayer. Oh yeah, for me praying in some ways, and I know this is. Probably a spiritually superior thought. Oh my gosh, I'm not even going to say it. How stupid. Thank you. So yeah, I guess I missed that. Yeah, you missed Nikki. but Nikki could read that again. Would you read that again for us, Nikki? Since we do have time, and then we have like practically 30 minutes to chat and for people to give their thoughts. So Nikki, do you want to say yes? Sharon's praying. Okay, Nikki, I will give you back the mic. Thank you so much.
If somebody would email me or send me a text and let me know how you guys keep posting things on the, because I'll copy and paste it and put it over there, and it says that I can't do that, so... Somebody will tell me how to do that. That would be wonderful. So Kabir, mad with joy, life and death dance to the rhythm of this music. The hills and the sea and the earth dance. The world of man dances in laughter and tears. Why put on the robe of the monk and live life aloof from the world in lonely pride? Kabir, a persistent trap all along the path is pride in one's spiritual purity. It's a form of one-upmanship in which you judge others out of a feeling of superiority. this ultimately limits your spiritual awakening. You can see many people who are caught in this trap of virtue. For example, in the self-righteousness of some churchgoers, in the yoga scene in America, there are many groups of people who dress in a certain way, eat in a certain way, are special in some way that gives them an ego-enhancing feeling of purity. The harmful effect of this trap is not so much to one's social relationships, though they may become strained from this display of subtle arrogance, but rather the effect on oneself. This feeling of specialness or superiority inflates the ego and feeds it with pride. The best antidote to pride is humility, which leads to compassion. The sooner one develops compassion in this journey, the better. Compassion lets us appreciate that each individual is doing what he or she must do, and that there is no reason to judge another person or oneself. Merely do what you can to further your own awakening. And once again, that is by Ram Dass, and thank you so much for this opportunity.
Savior's eyes.
Oh, wow. Yeah, me too. I feel it just gives me such an amazing feeling. Okay, thank you, Regina, for posting that. Regina's going to post the Ram Dass article under Inspiration on the Awakening Together blog. That's awesome. So as I was listening to that song, I know I'm crying too as I'm listening to that song. You know, I'm just thinking of where Jesus says here, here's the value that you lay upon your brother and on yourself. Here is your gift to both, your judgment on the Son of God for what he is. Forget not that it is your Savior to whom the gift is offered. Offer him thorns and you are crucified. Offer him lilies and it is yourself you free. And so right now, if anybody has anything they'd like to share about the talk this morning or anything, please put your hand up. Barb, I will give you the mic.
Thank you, Lynn. Yeah, I hope you can hear me okay. Just want to make sure. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, this whole thing of spiritual snobbery, it was so interesting. I think back with my own journey as such, and I was with a group here, local, a circle, who I thought was a good circle, and I loved it when I first got there, but after a while, I started to... one of my MOs is to join with another person in criticizing the group. And they weren't like the form of ACIM that I thought was the real thing. And I look back on that time now and I say, I look back and feel that it's like just a surface understanding of the Course. You know, yeah, how you do the surface for a long time, at least some of us do, and then later on you realize, you know, it wasn't what you thought it was. And, you know, I thought these people weren't purist ACIM people. They were going outside of ACIM, and that was bad. Funny how we do that kind of thing. And then, you know, what I'm learning now is just that patience. There are people who are, you know, really wanting that truth, but you know, we're at different levels of acceptance and willingness, and so you know, just patience for me is, you know, because we read about this all the time, someone who is on a path or not on a path, and all of a sudden one day they wake up and you go, well, it could be that person sitting right next to you. You have no idea. How do I know? Now the only thing is it says in the Course is accept the atonement for myself. So, anyway, I just wanted to say that, and we've got some couple other hands up here. So let me go ahead and let go of the mic. Thanks.
Go ahead, Jacqueline. Jacqueline, you dropped the mic.
Okay.
All right. There we go. I enjoyed your little interaction with that Ram Dass, and I know that there's the tendency, the conditioning, to get always everyone's looking for their perfection, and the conditioning has this so often returning to form to find our perfection. And so we seek perfection, but we get forgetful, and we return to the realm of form to establish that perfection. And the only perfection that we can ever find is by allowing everything to just pass right through us, with no commentary, with no opinion. That alone, to me, is perfection. It is just being a vessel, being not storing anything, any visions or sounds or anything that I would like to hold on to or ruminate on or keep it inside and keep it from passing through. Then that's where it's going to get stuck. And so for me, watching how the perfection of form is continually sought, it's I don't find that tricky, because I feel that right away. I feel the impermanence of that very clearly, and so for me, I just realized that the only perfection is to allow everything to just pass through and just be that witness. Thanks.
Thank you, Tom. It's good to hear your voice. And I agree. That is absolutely, you don't dwell on any of it. Just, you know, the end, it's done, yeah. So, Alan, I'm going to give you the mic. Thank you for being here.
Good morning, everybody. The way my mic works is that it locks and that it unlocks after a period of time, so I'll put it back. Yeah, it's good to be listening and good to be with you all. I'm carrying on up here in where I live, and I was on lesson 23 yesterday. I see as a form of vengeance, and that's going pretty well, I guess. I just wanted to check in. I never know what to say exactly. I was hoping God might give me something to say that's real simple and just talk through me. I find it interesting that we talk about being outside of time, but we really watch the time, both here and other places, and I struggle with it. I would like to be out of time, but I'm still working for the man, or at least I'm still contracting for the man, and I've got to be certain places. So I'm still stumbling away here, and I think I probably know a lot more than I think I do, and I think I probably understand more than I can express. But I would like to keep it simple and know God is with me and keep walking, and sometimes you guys sound like you're speaking a different language to me, and there's so many words. But I listen and I glean, and I keep going. I just wanted to say something that I noticed I did. I came on and I talked about Eva Cassidy. My wife discovered Eva Cassidy once, and I just think her voice is so pure and so wonderful, and I just think we could use more of those today. And so I had to post that she was, or at least allude to the fact that she was discovered in England and then America discovered her after. And I thought, why did I do that? I guess that was some kind of musical I'm done. Thank you. I'm dropping the mic now.
Thank you, Alan. Yeah, musical snobbery. I do it too. Oh my gosh, it's, you know, a whole new world looking at all the ways that you judge. So thank you, Alan. And Regina, the mic is yours.
Yeah, thank you to both Lynn and Nikki for bringing that little Ram Dass post to our attention. In NTI Revelation, it talks about how when, you know, when we want, it talks about true desire, when we want our true desire, which means, you know, that we've kind of lost interest, at least to some degree, in the world and such, and what we're really focused on in our daily attention is awakening. That the only thing that will really get us off track is in some way to think that we've done what we wanted, you know, to think that we've done what we wanted. So, you know, this idea of thinking, okay, I'm now spiritual, you know, the way that Ram Dass is expressing it, I'm now spiritual, and it's those others out there that aren't, you know, that kind of gets us off track. And so, you know, it's really wonderful to be reminded of that spiritual arrogance that I call the spiritual ego, because it's actually a very, very common ploy of the ego to get us off track from our spiritual desire or our spiritual aspiration. And as Lynn was talking, you know, I remember, of course, reading the Course a long time ago, and it would talk about seeing the Christ in everyone. And when I looked at that point, all I saw was the ego in everyone. And I wondered, how in the world can I see the Christ? You know, all I see is, quote, everything they're doing wrong. And my inner guidance came to actually start noticing the ego, but notice the ego a little different. Notice that the ego in them, you know, is the same as the ego in me. And it actually turned out to be quite interesting, because I came to see the ego as exactly the same. You know, I saw that there was no difference at all at the level, even the level of ego. And somehow in seeing that, it enabled me then to disregard the ego. You know, I suppose this is what we call the miracle, because it's not necessarily logical. But as I saw that the ego was the same in everyone, it then allowed me to disregard the ego. It didn't matter whether it was the ego in, quote, me, or the ego in, quote, you know, someone else. It was still the ego, and the ego was to be gently disregarded, and attention was only to be put on truth. So then it just became a practice of shifting, you know, whenever my attention went to the ego, again, whether it was the ego in me or the ego in someone else was irrelevant, just whenever my attention went to the ego, just shifting it. And in the beginning, what I shifted it to was an inspirational thought, because I still had no awareness of what to shift it to. So I shifted it to an inspirational thought, which you guys may remember I had the single quiet thoughts that used to come. But at some point I became aware of, you know, what we often call awareness of that which is what we are, which precedes thought. And then it just became a matter of shifting to awareness. And I love it in Santa Barbara, Timothy Conway did this great exercise on Sunday morning. It was very similar to the eye-gazing exercises that many of us have done before, but what was a little different, at least for me, from the eye-gazing exercises I've done before, is that as we were gazing in the eyes of this other person, Timothy focused us first on our own awareness. He did some, you know, some coaching, which focused us first on our own awareness, that isness that is before thought and beyond thought. And then as we got a strong sense of that self, he then just had us focus on the fact that the awareness and the one we were gazing at was the exact same awareness. So we were awareness gazing at awareness. And then one of the thoughts he left us with at the end of the conference, at the end of the retreat, was to look at everyone always that way. You know, always focus on our awareness, and then remember that one talking, that is the exact, you know, that same awareness is there as well. And as Lynn was posting the paragraph today about charity and seeing Christ in everyone, you know, I just thought, you know, that's what Timothy was talking about. Of course, I mean, he wasn't using the same language, see the Christ, but he led us through an exercise where we became aware of that which is beyond the ego, and the exact same, even the exact same one in each of us, and then left us with focus on that. Whenever anyone is talking, whenever anyone is acting, whenever anyone is doing anything, focus on your awareness, and then realize that's the same awareness, quote, there, so that we're always focusing on that. Thank you. I'll release the mic now.
Thank you so much, Regina. And yeah, it, exactly the same thing. And really, we did the same thing similar at the Attitudinal Healing Conference as well. And it was like, wow, deja vu all over again. This is really it. And so wonderful. Nikki, I'll give you the mic.
I feel like now that I'm going to say anything, I'm going to sound like I'm just copying Regina now. But a couple of things jumped out at me. I think Lynn had posted the clarification of terms from A Course in Miracles. And there's a couple of things that jumped out at me. The structure, I think it's in clarification of terms in one. And the structure of individual consciousness is essentially irrelevant because it is a concept representing the original error or the original sin. So, you know, it's really becoming identified with this thought that separates me from isness, right? And then the clarification of terms in five, and it, the name of Jesus is the name of the one who was a man but saw the face of Christ and all his brothers. So he's not talking about that he's seeing the form or the manifestation and denying that. He's seeing the manifestation, the form, and saw the face of Christ, the isness. Right? So he became identified with awareness, which is the Christ. A man no longer, but at one with God, isness. The man was an illusion, for he seemed to be a separate being walking by himself within a body that appeared to hold his self. It just jumps out at me that Jesus never once is saying that I, the individual, the manifestation, and seeing the other manifestations as isness. Although that is true. You know, that is true. And I think it was last Halloween it popped into my head, you know, that God is in drag. But on Halloween, most that are in character are not identified as that. They're not deluded that they are this. You know, and I thought, how funny, over and over on Halloween, we ask, who do you think you are today? And it's accepted, right? Who do you think you are today? What am I identifying with? You know, that isness, that presence always is. You can never not be isness. No matter how far I have fallen asleep to that, I can never not be that. I can be clouded and confused that I am this. I was trying to think of one of the characters I've played, you know, whether it may be an angel, which seems, you know, like a higher form, or the Wicked Witch of the West, which seems to be the lower form. Isness always is. And it's really surrendering to that and seeing the truth. Because all these thoughts do not mean anything, all of them. And once I become deluded or distracted by anything that I'm doing as I've fallen asleep to that true awareness, that true isness that is always present. And thank you so much. I'm so grateful to be here today. Thanks.
Thank you, Nikki. And wow, it's a blessing that you're here with us today. And all of everyone who's here, what a blessing to join together with this. Really, I mean, you guys are my mighty companions. I couldn't come to you, so you came to me. This is the greatest kind of an assembly, because we can be here as we are and join and love each other as we are. With that, unless we have any others who are wanting to share, we do have another hour ahead of us that we can stay here and chat all we want. And I'm going to play a closing song now, and then we'll be on to our social hour. Here we go.
What I see when I look into your eyes tells me who I am, that I might realize the truth about myself and you. When I look back at where I've been, the dream, it seems serene, and desolation was all around. That was the only thing that I could see. But I thought you were another on a path apart from mine. Then I raised my head and looked into your eyes, and the love that's all you are and all you've ever been just reaches out to me and takes me home again. So many roads we've all walked down, seeming to go nowhere, all came together in the end to that raw highway that takes us out of here. I wandered alone and friendless, my heart filled with despair, until I opened up my eyes and finally I saw you there. But I thought you were another on a path apart from mine. Then I raised my head and looked into your eyes, and the love that's all you are and all you've ever been just reaches out to me and takes me home again. when you see your brother standing on the road. You think I'll just pass him by. Remember what he offers you. Open your heart and let him come inside. No one can live here alone. In heaven all souls are joined. My brother is none other than myself, and no one will be left behind. But I thought you were another on a path apart from mine. Then I raised my head and looked into your eyes, and the love that saw you are and all you've ever been just reaches out to me and takes me home again.
All right, Regina, you can play that song.
Thank you. Okay, so this is a song by Resta. It's called "You Can't Fool Me, You're the Christ." And in the song, you're going to hear some background chatter. It's a part of the song. It's someone in the background like complaining and talking about others and judging. And this is the one that Resta is singing to. She's singing to this person who is acting out ego. And she's saying, "You can't fool me. You're the Christ." So let's see. Here it is. Hopefully you can hear it okay. I'm upstairs. I'm not downstairs with my speakers. But here we go.
You can't fool me, I know who you are. You think you are hiding and safe in the dark, but I've got your number, can't mistake your light. You can't fool me, you're the Christ. You pretend to be normal,
I'm just
with unusual eyes.
This is a hard world we live in.
Someone little and frightened.
I do the best I can.
Who just wants to survive. But I've seen the glory.
Who, me?
Behind your facade.
You're someone else.
Such love and such power.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Comes only from God. You can't fool me.
I know who you are.
You think you are hiding and safe in the dark, but I've got your number, can't mistake your light. You can't fool me, you're the Christ. Your mind wears a body.
I sure wish I could lose some of
it. And pretends it is you.
Seems like there's never enough time to exercise.
Maintain and protect it.
And also my knees.
Is all that you do.
But I guess that's part of it.
But I've seen the glory.
Glory?
Your spirit can't hide.
Glory is an extra day off.
So tender and holy.
Maybe winning the lottery.
It must be divine. You can't fool me. I know who you are. You think you are hiding and safe in the dark, but I've got your number, can't mistake your light. You can't fool me, you're the Christ. Unfairly treated,
I have been,
is the role that you play. Your
all
fears and defenses
I
keep others away.
You can't trust anyone.
But I've seen the glory that shines in your heart.
Get this glory stuff.
Your human disguises can't hide what you are. You can't fool me. I know who you are. You think you are hiding and safe in the dark. But I've got your number. Can't mistake your light. You can't fool me. You are the Christ.
Okay, that's it. So yeah, that obviously this morning's gathering reminded me of that song. I'm sure it's easy to see why. And I'll be letting go of the mic. I think it's actually my turn to jump in the shower now. So I'm going to go do that. But thank you very much, Lynn. I enjoyed this morning. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Regina, and thank you for that song. Yeah, I loved it. Very, very sweet. And I love her voice. Very sweet also. So anyway, if anybody has any comments or anything they'd like to share with the crowd, just put your hand up and you are all welcome.